Hi, and welcome to Gary England's Last Born. This is Mark.
And this is Dave.
And we're going to break down the loss to the Clippers. We are fortunate that we get to play them again in a few days, and so we're excited about preparing for that, studying the film, and getting ready for it.
Yeah, but before we do that, we have a quick couple of minutes of explaining tanking versus rebuilding and our theory about it. You don't have to listen if you don't want. Fast forward a couple minutes, but this is right here is how we feel, and we get super passionate about the difference between tanking and rebuilding.
Thanks for joining us for Gary England's Last Born. All right, well, let's just get right into it, Dave. You know, in a game like this, when, you know, we weren't really that close, this is the type of game that the hyenas show up to, you know, try to talk some trash and try to let you know that this is a tank job. But what do you have to say about that?
I feel like the whole word tank is a derogatory statement, especially when you're talking about it to GMs. If you use the tank to a GM, immediately it has this effect of, no, we're not doing that, right? So essentially what's happened is these GMs and these front office people have masked the word tank with another word that we like to use, which is called rebuilding, okay? So they've intertwined these two words, and they've made it into one. And that's where we get a lot of people that are disagreeing with us, because we look up the word tanking, sports. What is sports tanking? What does the term tanking mean in sports? Look it up in the dictionary, and you all see exactly what we're talking about. It means that you are non-competitive, that you don't want a team to win. You're trying to lose to get yourself a better stock. And what we're saying is, what we're doing, we're not using that derogatory statement towards Sam. We're not saying Sam is a horrible GM, so he's going to tank this team. He's not doing that. He's putting a team that's competing night in and night out. And we saw that right tonight. Like, we saw a perfect opportunity for Coach D to pull the guys out and say, hey, this is going to be a growing moment. But he didn't do that. He let the guys play. He got us back in the game. At one point, it was down to single digits, or it was 10 points or 9 points, whatever. It was down to a stone throw of being back in the game completely. And that's the thing I love about Coach, is the whole 0-0 mindset goes correlation with the whole idea of people saying this word tank. It is not a term we like, and it's, for me, I feel like it's a way to really upset an owner, to really upset a GM, and I feel like Sam is doing whatever it takes to prove that this is not a tanking team. What do you think,
right,
Mark?
Right. Well, so anybody who wants to say tanking and rebuilding are the same, they're just trying to use revisionist history. They're trying to use doublespeak. Go read the book 1984. You know, go learn a little bit, you know, about history, about the way the world works, and you'll know anybody who is trying to talk out of both sides of their mouth, they're lying to you. And right now, that's what's happening right now. It's all followers of the Three Stooges. They all go around and they say the same things. And so you can tell where it's coming from every single time. You don't even have to really work that hard to figure it out, because they all want to say the same things. And the fact is, no other NBA fan base has this confusion, period. Let me say that again. No other NBA fan base has this confusion. I'll even take it one step further. No other pro sports team fan base has as much confusion about this as the Oklahoma City fan base. And the reason there is so much confusion about it is very, 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 very simple, okay? It's because the media has failed at their jobs, and they have lied to you, and they have convinced you that they are the same thing, when in fact they have never been the same thing. They will never be the same thing, okay? And look, we go over this almost every episode, but we'll do it again, okay? When you tank, okay, you go into the bottom of the tank and you want to get out of the tank, so you have to rebuild to get out of the tank, okay? All right, real simple, right? But just because you rebuild does not mean you go into the tank, all right? And as one of our best Twitter followers who loves to come and talk smack, especially when we're down by 20 points, right, said, you know, a tank is a rebuild. We made tanking moves. Every move you make to give young players opportunities and trade away older players for assets is not a tank move, okay? That's just not. And I know most of the people listening are wondering why the fuck I'm talking about this in such a long, drawn-out way. It's because the Oklahoma City Thunder fan base has been led astray by the Three Stooges, and they have decided to infect the Oklahoma City fan base with a loser mentality, and we're here to combat that. And so when we look out there and we see the game that we saw tonight against the Clippers, we saw a team fighting like hell. And it just really, really fires us up when there are people out there who are shitting on this team that's fighting like hell, and they're wearing our city's logo, our city's emblem on their jersey, and they're fighting for the OKC. They're fighting for 405. They're fighting for everything that we stand for, and everybody goes, oh, that's not good enough. Tank, tank, tank. They're playing one of the elite teams in the Western Conference, in the whole NBA. We have to support them and recognize that this is about learning. I saw a team get better in the second half than they were in the first half. And fortunately, like we talked about before this game, this is a special opportunity for a really young team to play an elite team back-to-back. And that gives them a chance to work on what they have without any distractions in between. And that makes me happy. That fires me up. And the reason it makes Coach Degnault and Sam Presti and all the players happy is for one reason. One reason alone. It's because they're fucking competitive. If they weren't competitive, you know what they would think? They would wish that they didn't have to play the Clippers again. But they're competitive. They love to compete. Okay? And our coaching staff loves to give our players a chance to win. And we fought like hell to get to have a chance to win, and we didn't get there. But I love seeing the fight. What do you think?
I love the fight. But before I get into the fight, I want to throw this in here. I was following Brian Windhorst. I have been keeping up with the articles that he's written. One time he wrote on there that the Oklahoma City Thunder, when they're trading Steven Adams and we got George Hill, he said that the Oklahoma City Thunder has had a offer for a first and a second for George Hill, and he was shocked to find out that they, the Thunder, weren't interested in it at this moment. What does that tell you? That doesn't tell you that that's a rebuilding, because anytime that you have a player that's worth anything, like Brian said, at that moment, it's like anytime you have a player that's worth anything, you trade in for the assets. And everybody's like, oh, right. My gosh, we traded two, we said no to two picks. But here's the thing. Like, how many more picks can we add? How many more picks can we seriously add at this point? And having a leader like George Hill and Al Horford, because we got an offer for Al Horford as well from Brian Windhorst from the Hornets. For Nicholas Batum, they had an offer for us. We would get 2 second-rounders for it, right? Here's the crazy thing about that. We had all these opportunities to get rid of the guys that we have, and the GM, for whatever reason, did it. And he had opportunities. There's no doubting that. There's no reason that you can't go and look it up yourself and realize that we had an opportunity to get rid of our vets, and we turned it down. We could have had more draft picks, and we turned it down so that we could compete this year. But back right. to the game. Back to the game. We saw a lot of amazing things. We saw a lot of guys stepping up, and I really want to highlight this going into what we're talking about. Is we have a total of, let's just go through the names, Baisley, Dort, Hall, Maladone, Poku, Orobi, Kenny Hustle, and Moses Brown. All right? So those guys, those eight guys, they have combined for a total of 137 games in their careers. That is insane. We have the majority of those guys that are playing three guys at a time on the court. So we have guys that are on the court that don't have an incredible lot of experience. But one thing that we saw tonight was it doesn't matter. These guys hustle. They don't care what the score is. They don't care that we're getting blown out in the first half. They don't care that we might look bad in the first half, because these guys are coming out and they're balling. These guys are showing that they belong.
Yeah, and we're watching them figure out how to compete together as a team. And I really appreciate the effort that they're putting in because, you know, you get behind a team like the Clippers, you know, it's a lot easier just to mail it in and say, like, okay, you know, this isn't our game. But they knew that every chance that that clock was running, every second that clock was running, they had a chance to compete, and they were going to get better at competing. And, you know, Dort, he went for 19 points tonight. So he was 1 point off of having the third game in a row where he hit 20, you know. And so I think that proves that he didn't quit. SGA, he went on a good little run at the end there. And so he ended up going for 30. So there was some highlights in there, even though, you know, we weren't necessarily in it the whole game. But what I love about this team and what I love about this coaching staff is the fact that we compete. And just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind every time the Tankers try to show up to piss on your party, because in the end, tanking doesn't include competing. So we went out there and we competed. We competed hard. And, you know, at one point, we cut it down to what? We had it down to 10 in the fourth quarter at one point. And yeah, it wasn't very long that it was there. But I could feel the Clippers get a little bit of a sense of urgency. And I felt like our coaching staff, like, was definitely proud of the effort, because at some point, I think it was all the way at, like, 25, 26, something like that. So getting it back to 10 in the fourth quarter was meaningful. And watching SGA find a rhythm, that was really good toward the end. Dort continued his hot shooting. So all the things that we want to see from these young players, we're seeing it. And if anybody thinks that, you know, we're prepared to go in and beat the Clippers, you know, on their home court, you know, at this stage, you know, they're getting carried away. And obviously I love getting carried away. So I do think that we have a chance to beat them, you know, on Sunday. And I think that what we saw from them, from our team competitive-wise, if they bring that, you know, for the second half, they bring that all game, next game, we've got a chance. But then again, that's why I love this team, is because I believe every time we go out, we have a chance. And a lot of people don't, and that's fine. You know, that's why I watch the games, because in the end, the way they play is all that matters.
Yeah, and let's just talk about how the Thunder were able to crawl back in the game, because I think it's key to the whole thing of what coach is teaching in practice and everything else like that. So the Thunder were doing pretty rough in the first half, and at one point, you know, I live in Hawaii, so I had to listen to or watch the game on a non-Thunder TV station, which is all right with me, because they taught me a little bit about what was going on and the aspects of how to look at this young team in an exciting way. And it's the first time I've ever listened to a Thunder game this first time this season I've listened to a Thunder game without Thunder announcers. So I was pretty stoked. And the guys, they talked a lot about how the Clippers announcer, which is Coach and somebody else, they did a lot of talking about how the Clippers were able to score a lot in the inside. They really took advantage of our young talent and are young guys that aren't fully developed in the weight room, and they just pounded the ball inside in the beginning. And in the second half, at halftime, the announcers said that this is the most points they have scored in the post, posting up the entire season. So it was interesting, because I remember writing Mark and saying, I'm interested to see how Coach is going to change up his defense to stop them scoring in the post, because it's been impossible to stop. And what we saw in the second half is Coach making the adjustments that were needed. And what happened in the second half was brilliant, because Coach made them to the point where they weren't even going inside anymore. They were just taking shots after shots in the outside, and there were just everything was going up brick, is because the defense that we were playing was finally getting to them. They weren't going inside because it was an extra pass. They felt like they needed to take that shot. Whatever the case was, it was okay, because we saw something tonight watching a young coach and his young assistants get together and stop the Clippers at one of their best games they've ever had this season inside the lane. And it was really great to watch how Coach was able to get the guys going like that.
Right. Like Coach has said so many times, you can't stop everything. You have to make some defensive strategies and then decide what you're going to give them. And they decided that they didn't want to give them, you know, the paint anymore. And obviously it was effective. They weren't able to claw their way all the way back in the game, but there were a couple times where I felt like we got it close enough where if we had hit a shot or, you know, got another stop, we could have really made them sweat. And I think that was a credit to, like you're saying, our coaching staff and coming up with a strategy to stop what they did best. And obviously, this is a special opportunity, like I already mentioned, to, you know, study the film and come back and play a better game on Sunday. And that's what I expect from this team, because I've seen it happen over and over again.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's just so many positive things to walk away from tonight. It's hard to get down on this team. It's hard to get down on the guys. For me, watching this game, I was super excited. I saw a lot of amazing things, that the ball just didn't go in the hoop. The pass was deflected. Like, whatever the case was, the idea of what they were doing was amazing. And one of those things that I've consistently seen throughout this entire year is with Shea. When Shea goes to the ball, especially on the baseline, one of the greatest things I have ever seen in the revolution of the very long and lanky point guard, and especially because Shea's been playing a lot of shooting guard this year, one of the greatest things I've seen by Shea is his separation. He's able to bump that guy just ever so slightly, and he takes these long strides that takes the normal defender two, you know, side steps, three side steps, whatever it is, to get down. Get the shuffle down there. He's trying to get down there. He can't. He just blows by them. We saw this a couple different times tonight. Shea had 30 points. He had 8 assists. So the point was, what he was doing tonight, he was using his long strides to get past the guy. And this is something that I believe that we're going to see more and more of as he gets older and he matures more. I think he's going to get better at this. And I think what's going to happen, it's going to completely change the NBA on how to guard a point guard like Shea.
Right. Yep. And I think he's really shown that type of leadership that we've been talking about. Obviously, you know, he did a little more in the scoring way today. But, you know, definitely, I think he's the type of guy that we want out there leading the troops. And, you know, when somebody asked me today, you know, do I really think that I want this team to make it to the playoffs just, you know, so we can lose in the first round, all I could think about was, hell yeah, I do. Hell yeah, I do. I want to make it to the playoffs because this team fights like hell. And when you have a scrappy team that fights every possession, they are so fun to watch in the playoffs. So fun. I mean, so
incredible. Yeah.
That first year that the Thunder made it to the playoffs and they played the Lakers, that was a special opportunity for us to grow. And if you want to beat the best, sometimes you got to get beat by the best. It was like Michael Jordan, you know, in the 80s, he went up against the Pistons and he lost, and the Pistons went on to win the championship. And that's the type of thing that gave Michael the determination, and he recognized what he needed to do to be able to win. And it's frustrating to lose for everybody, but when you get beat by the best and you see how they do it, like we did, and the Lakers went on to win that championship, you know, it showed us that competitive edge that we needed, and it was important, and it's valuable experience. And so I want SGA to experience that, even if that means we play against the Clippers or the Lakers, and they come out and they really take it to us, because in the end, that's what you have to experience. You can't just experience, you know, simple, you know, lose, now we have the best players and we're going to go off and we're going to win. If you think that's how it works, then you just don't pay attention and you're delusional. And honestly, you're listening to the Three Stooges, and the Three Stooges, they don't really have a good track record.
Yeah, you're right. So I agree totally with that, and I think it leads us into our next one that we absolutely love, that we've heard the Three Stooges be negative about, and one of the guys that we love to talk about is Mike. Mike has been evolving his game so much this year. One of the things I loved about Mike is when he first came to the Thunder, he could just knock down that three. Just when he was open, he could knock it down. It wasn't always consistent, but he still could knock that shot down. One of the things that he has added to his arsenal is this pump fake as the defender is coming towards him. And he looks like he's going to rise up and shoot, right? So he comes up and the defender's running at him because he's open. And the guy will jump off in the air. What does he do? He takes a dribble, sidesteps on the three-point line, drains it. All right. So he's been doing that move more and more this season. Well, tonight I saw a different aspect to that move and a different little chink in what he was doing, and I loved it. All right, so check this out. Mike takes his whole pump fake. The guy comes flying at him. He takes his sidestep. The guy is able to recover because he's recognized that Mike's move. And he's played against Mike most likely because they played with the Clippers together. Takes that sidestep, right? Guy comes back, covers, and he drives to the hole. All right. Now, he drives incredibly hard. I had to relook to see who that was because I couldn't believe how hard he drove to the hole. And then he comes around and does a wraparound pass to SGA in the corner, and he missed it. But the point about it was is we're watching Mike do some crazy things. He had 11 points tonight, right? He double figures yet again. But what he has been doing, he's been showing that he is able to consistently gain momentum on his shot. He can gain momentum on his moves. And we're watching him do things that most big men, like he is, aren't able to do. And it's exciting. This kid is going to be a good player, and I really hope we get to watch him with a Thunder uniform on for many, 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 many years to come.
Right. He had a really bad game last game, and he just didn't shoot well and had trouble inserting himself. And then this game, he started off very slow. But he really was able, like you said, to use some different moves and find ways to affect the game. And he was a key part, like in the third quarter when we cut it to 10 at that point, you know, it was, you know, him doing a lot of the dirty work and hitting some threes that got us there. So it's really good to see him, you know, be committed and have, you know, the focus and work through, because the young players are watching him. They're learning from the way that he works through his difficulties, and they all are going to have the same difficulties. Some of them are experiencing them right now. And watching a professional work through them is how they're going to learn the same patterns that will help them. And that's what I really appreciate about Mike, is his leadership, his commitment to the team, and just his really his desire to be a mentor to these young players.
You said the best right now. He is definitely mentoring these young guys. I love how he was able to in the first, I believe it was in the first quarter, when Maladone and him missed on a connection. Mike goes over to him, calms him down, says, hey, listen, man, you're all good, right? So the next play happens, comes down, Maladone to Moose. And it was amazing because whatever he said calmed him down enough for him to recognize that there was a mismatch someplace. Maybe it was him saying, hey, man, listen, don't think so hard. I have the mismatch. Whatever he said made it so that there was an opportunity for him to score. And I love how he was able to do that. I want to throw out here is one of the great plays before the first quarter was over was Hami catching the ball 3/4 of the court, and within I think it was 3 dribbles he had a layup, and it was 3.3 seconds and he hit it on the buzzer. It was a really great opportunity to see how quickly he was able to get to the hole, how quickly he was able to explode, and how quickly he was able to rise up and get around the guys that he needed to get around to hit that layup. It was an incredibly athletic move. And it was something that we'd love to see from this young man.
Yeah, and he ended up with 10 points, and he was definitely all over the place. He tried to, you know, create the energy we needed to come back. He hit some good shots. He also missed some tough ones, you know. But I love seeing him find a way to contribute and hopefully, you know, turn it around for our team when we're struggling. You know, it didn't work tonight, but when he brings that energy – and he knows, like, his job and how to contribute, then he's really tough to stop because he goes after the ball like, you know, like crazy. He's a ball hawk for sure.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it was nice to see how he was able to explode like that. All right, so we get to the second quarter. Like we've already talked about, the second quarter was a little rough, but we saw a lot of good things here. One of the good things that I saw straight up was when Maladone was covering PG, all right? He bodied him up. PG was going to his signature move right towards the middle, and Maladone bodies him up, and it throws PG off so bad he literally just makes a turnover. Like, he was not expecting a rookie to be able to do that. It showed me that this kid is a whole lot more than just a point guard and the possibility of just a point guard. If he's able to go up against one of the NBA's best, yes, I know, I'm geeking out over a single play here, but it shows me the potential of this young man is enormous. He's able to go out and guard a player like PG and actually hold him on a signature move of his. That was really awesome for two reasons. It shows that he pays attention in the film room, and it shows that he has heart and he's willing to step up and do something, even if it means that he's going to get run over.
Right. Now, Poku also hit a three in the second quarter. Let's see.
Well, Poku's shot, though. What did you notice about it?
His releasing confidence.
Releasing confidence and the arc. That arc was there. It was straight up and down. It was a sweet shot. It's the most complete shot I have seen from him all season.
Right. And Baisley hit a couple of threes in the second quarter also. And that was good to see him get a little bit of rhythm. And, you know, Kenny Hustle had, you know, he had a couple minutes out there where he was able to get some offensive rebounds and some steals. And that was really good to see him make an impact.
And seeing Kenny Hustle out there is something that we recognize. It's whenever we see a player that is going out there and that is on the offensive boards every single time is impressive. I watched how Kenny was competing every single time that ball was shot on the offensive boards, and it made me excited because he's doing the same thing on the defensive board, and he's grabbing rebounds. This guy is an all-out hustle type player. He's leading it all on the court. It doesn't matter if he's only getting 6 minutes. He's impacting the game big time in those 6 minutes.
Right, and at that point, at the end of the first half, Dort only had 4 points, so he ended up scoring 15 in the second half. And so that was really, you know, instrumental in us, you know, keeping the game close where they didn't just get the rest of their starters. And that was, you know, definitely something that we wanted to do. In the third quarter, you know, Roby had a couple of buckets in a row, and that was good to see. And then Dort hit another three, which keeps his streak alive. He actually hit two threes in the third quarter.
Well, yeah, and the good thing about that, too, that I have to throw out there is that Dort started the game missing three threes in a row, and then he came back and only missed one three the rest of the game. And that right there is, again, the type of improvement that we've been raving about all year with this guy.
Right, and we entered the third quarter, you know, down 17, and that lead got, you know, kind of ballooned. But then we entered the fourth quarter down 13, so we were still fighting, and it didn't feel like it was that close, that's for sure.
No, it really didn't. But again, it shows you how coach is teaching these guys at just getting a little bit at the lead at a little bit of a time. It doesn't need to be all in a 3 minute period of time. He's showing these guys that you can take out a lead that is a 20, 22, 24, whatever point lead it is, and take away out of it a little bit at a time. And this is what I love about this guys. These guys are learning how to come from behind, how to play when they're losing a game, how to play when you're winning a game. And these guys right now, this is the greatest type of college you can ever hope to have for your young core right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, we just kept fighting, and we've said that a bunch of times, but that was how the game went, you know. And definitely the Clippers were the better team today, and, you know, they're all in. You know, they're going for the win right now. And, you know, we're in the middle of a rebuild, and so it's going to be really interesting to see how this goes, but I'm really excited about, you know, getting back at it on Sunday. It's going to be an earlier game, which will be helpful for me.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the Clippers game coming up because I do feel that Coach Lou is a great coach. But when you're a winning coach, you say the same exact thing in the locker room. Yeah, we got some things to work on, but we're going to do the same exact thing in a couple days because, like, you're okay with that. But Coach D recognizes where our mistakes have been. He recognizes where we've been having trouble, and he's making changes right now. And tomorrow, we'll see, the guys will see it in practice. And then we will be able to enjoy it on Saturday morning because this, again, is another game to get excited about.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is for sure. So, well, we appreciate everybody joining us. You know, we'll be back tomorrow. We're going to give you guys a pregame on the Clippers. We're going to have some interesting stats to give up, and we've got a big surprise that we are really excited to share with you guys tomorrow. I wanted to share it today, but Dave talked me out of it, so we're going to save it. You guys are going to have to tune in tomorrow. Find out what's going on here at Gary England's Last Dorm. We appreciate everybody listening. We appreciate everybody taking the time. And, you know, we definitely are proud of this team. And, you know, the people are going to come, you know, talk trash when we're down and they think they're Thunder fans. You know, clearly they're not. And we're here to talk back. And we're just happy that people recognize that we're the people to come and talk shit on when the game is out of hand, because we will stand up for our team even when we're down by 20, even when we're down by 30. It doesn't matter. We're here for it. We love it. Bring it on. And I'm just glad that we have a reputation of people that they know that we're not tankers. And if anybody wants to talk about tanking, we'll always talk to them about how stupid they are. So bring it on. Thanks for joining us. My name's Mark.
And I'm Dave. And we'll be back here tomorrow dropping a new episode. Actually, we'll be dropping a new episode later on today. So listen in for that. We appreciate all those people that have been speaking out and speaking up, whether you hate us or whether you don't. We see all of the comments there. We see the hate. We see the love. It doesn't matter. We will comment. We will stand up. We will speak shit to you. We will speak trash to you. That's just how we roll. But with that being said, we are all in with this team. We feel the love for this team, and I hope that you guys feel the love with us. So listen in for tomorrow for our new episode. We will, like Mark said, get into some stats and some other things like that. This is the Flat Boys, and thank you for listening to us.
Thunder up.